I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that is Timothy McVeigh that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, September 6, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. We watched Joe Biden do some weird things recently. More weird things, I suppose. The speech was bizarre. Things are just unhinged. You know, the transference, we'll talk about some of that today. We are less than a week away from the 21st anniversary of September 11, 2001. And so, I don't know, maybe we'll play some Christopher Bolin this week and some other things. Solving who did 9/11, who did it? You got to know who and what and why. And of course, you know, one of the big things that he talks about is the Yanan plan and this greater Middle East project. And the plan goes way back. I mean, people don't realize that, you know, for example, you start diving down the rabbit hole quickly, you bump into, or maybe not so quickly, depending on what kind of filters are in place. Theodore Herzl, the first Zionist Congress, you know, 1897, him saying what he said. I've mentioned that many times. You also have, you know, the land acquisition by Baron Edmund de Rothschild. $50 million back then was a lot. It's still a lot, but it was a lot more. Might as well be $50 billion back then. You bump into guys like William E. Blackstone, who is considered by some to be the father of Zionism. And, you know, then you fast forward to current times, the present day, and guys like Joe Biden saying, well, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. So what does that mean? And all of that leads me to kind of where we dive in this morning. Maybe we start with Daniel Webster, who observed an argument on the murder of Captain White back in 1830. There's nothing so powerful as truth, and often nothing so strange. So, speaking of political Zionism, I received a message over the weekend that YouTube had deleted my content. Obviously, Road Warrior Radio has a YouTube channel. I've made one video in the past, 15, 20 years. So I received a message, YouTube removed your content. Well, there's one video on the channel that I have made. And so I thought, well, they finally took that down. And it's not that. Our team has reviewed your content, and unfortunately, we think it violates our hate speech policy. We've removed the following content from YouTube. It's the playlist that I created titled Political Zionism versus Political Islam, which correlates to Pike's letter to Mazzini and Three World Wars. And so, you know, if you are familiar with Pike's letter to Mazzini, the August 15, 1871 letter that was written, or, you know, the most prophetic letter never written that used to be in the British Museum Library, but never was, that kind of thing, depending on who you listen to. Pike outlined three world wars, and the third was to be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. And I have basically, in my simple encapsulation of the discussion, I call it political Zionism and political Islam, because they are not, you know, these are tools, I think, in the precisely the fashion that Pike wrote. So to shine a bright light on that, obviously, that's what I called the playlist. So I find it interesting. This violates the YouTube hate speech policy. I'm not sure exactly what about these two academic terms one could construe as hate speech, but obviously, I intend to challenge that. So that's Orwellian. That's a fun way to start the day. It's Tuesday. Yesterday was the observance of socialist so-called Labor Day. So that's interesting. Sometimes I talk about the history of Labor Day. I don't know that I didn't last week, and I don't know that I will today, but it's a socialist, communist, workers of the world unite, you know, Marxist deal, which is an interesting thing. You know, maybe we can talk about that at some point. Jimmy Dore did a video. This scares the blank out of the establishment, and he played a video of a guy, communist socialist, I think, essentially we could probably boil it down, and I think he refers to the guy as a communist, talking to a Trumper is what he calls him, communist and Trumper, talking about what unites them, basically, and cutting through the differences. And it's an interesting little deal, for sure. However, the caveat is that when this gentleman says, you know, seize the means of production, he uses the word seize the means of production. You know, you start to drift in a Marxist-Leninist direction. And this is where the religious aspect, the religious devotion comes in. And we're starting to see that really kind of come out into plain view. I intend to talk about this more, but, you know, you see this with the, you know, Donald Trump is kind of the emblematic figure. If you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, you know that, for example, before the 2016 election, I was saying I beat Hayek's Road to Serfdom Chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, to death. Because I said that's what this is leaning into that. And now we're seeing the religious fervor. Donald Trump has always been a divisive character, and all the more so as a political figure, albeit often in a, you know, you might argue more subtle, seductive ways, kind of in a certain context anyway. the evidence and how polarizing a figure he is, you know, the result where we are now. I mean, just look around. His supporters and detractors alike all say, we must at all costs and by any and all means necessary either keep him in or from power, respectively. So think about the implications there. I mean, that's exactly, I mean, that's textbook Road to Serfdom Chapter 10 stuff. Here we are. And it's 6 years down the road, but that's exactly the point. And so with this, you know, seize the means of production conversation, it's the same kind of religious fervor. That's the underlying point of communism that people don't realize. It is a counterfeit of Acts chapter 2, the Pentecostal moment, and there is a religious devotion. The question is who decides. And so if you're a Christian person or consider yourself a Christian, would aspire to be considered one, as I would put it, because I think it's God himself who actually, you know, he defines those terms, and he's the one who ultimately, you know, is the arbiter of those definitions. However, you know, that aside, if you consider yourself a Christian, then when it comes to matters of, you know, political power or whatever, what is your recourse? What is your most powerful weapon on earth, so to speak? And I would argue that it's prayer. You know, you go to Ephesians 6 and it's that kind of thing. Does that mean that, no, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that that's all you do, but you avail yourself, through prayer primarily to the creator of heaven and earth, and through the Holy Spirit, you what's the word? You you pay attention, you become sensitive and responsive to whatever the Holy Spirit impresses and maybe compels. And that's what you see in Acts chapter 2. That's what you see in the Pentecostal moment. That's what people are doing. Communism seeks to counterfeit that. And the subtlety is that, you know, we... we are at war. We've been at war since Genesis chapter 3, at least, shall we say. And the subtlety is this: the conflict is between the message in the garden and what God tells us, which is, you know, either ye shall be as gods or ye are not your own. It's one or the other. And so in communism and all of these other isms, the message is we have to do this. We, you know, whatever justification is given, or multiple justifications, we have to do this thing because if we don't, no one else will, or we're the only one that can, or whatever. Instead of appealing to the God of heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth, and enlisting his help and then availing ourselves to that, and so on and so on. Anyway, the religious fervor in communism is evident, even though it's subtle, in what this gentleman says. We need to seize the means of production. And he's not violent or radical or anything like that, but that language is, it belies a deeper, I would call it religious fanaticism, and that he probably doesn't even recognize himself. It's a Marxist-Leninist sort of bent. And that's been kind of the argument. You know, maybe I was reviewing some of the old communist stuff. You know, you go back to like Robert Welch's stuff and Skousen's stuff and even Hoover's stuff. And there's some interesting stuff in there that is very revealing. There are nuances. It's not all just sort of blunt force trauma. I mean, there's definitely an element of that, but that's not all. There's more going on, and people get drawn in, and you see that in you know, the intimations of someone like Whitaker Chambers, for example, and his appeals to Alger Hiss and saying, hey, buddy, and then he's repudiated. Chambers is repudiated by Hiss. There's a religious fervor in there that not everyone recognizes. So, you end up with the realization that as Archbishop Charles J. Chaput put it, evil preaches tolerance until it is dominant, then it tries to silence good. That's the Marxist-Leninist bent. That's the Marcusean repressive tolerance bent. So, I don't know, maybe I'm reaching, but the YouTube removed your content, a playlist titled Political Zionism versus Political Islam, doesn't seem like hate speech to me. I'm not sure what you could even construe as hate speech, like I said, in those academic terms. So, more practical stuff, moving on. Practically, speaking, life, you know, just things that happen in real life. Here's something else fun that I noticed. And this all kind of goes somewhere. So, I just noticed, I have a printer, an HP laser printer, and you have to use the HP Smart app. They call it an app, no matter if it's the if you're using it on a desktop or not. Now everything's an app. So I noticed earlier today that now, apparently, and this has been for a while, I guess I haven't updated the app, but now you have to sign into your HP account to scan a document. Why do I have to sign into my HP account? I don't even know that I have an HP account. So I did a search, quick search to see online to see if there was a way around that. Someone else asked that question a couple of years ago, apparently. Hello, why is HP Smart now requiring a sign-in to scan? This started about a week ago. This does not make the app easier to use as its extra steps. I also have a concern about privacy. HP does not need to know when or what I scan. Thanks. I completely agree with this person whose username is GT Malone. The answer, one person responded, came from this person whose username is Dragon Fur, complete with a dragon avatar, weird serpent dragon avatar thing. Creepy, I would call it. Level 16. I mean, it sounds like you know, this online environment was made for a person like this. And of course, I think of Chamath Palihapitiya, Stanford School of Business talk 2017, talking about people like this not realizing exactly how they've been sucked into this operant conditioning, you know, Skinner box, this chamber, where they've been checkboxing their whole lives, as he said. Think it's normal. Stick around, we'll be right back.
truly want to stay out of the system?
Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
HP, this is going somewhere. You know, where we're sort of headed, among other places, is there was the Off-Guardian article published back on the 3rd. It's excellent, I would say. 5 psychological experiments that explain the modern world. Absolutely. And so, I mean, we've talked about a lot of this stuff, but somebody, you know, finally put these all together in one place. I'm sure it's been done before, but this is a good write-up, I think. The world is a confusing place. People do things that don't make any sense, or at least seemingly. Think things that aren't supported by facts. Endure things they do not need to endure. And viciously attack those who try to bring these things to their attention. Obviously, these concepts date into antiquity. We've talked about that. You know, for example, you know, you think of Plato's cave, for instance, the allegory of the cave. If you've ever wondered why, you've come to the right place. Any casual reader of the alternate media landscape will eventually come up with a reference to Stanley Milgram or Philip Zimbardo, the Ash experiment, or maybe all three. Cognitive dissonance, diffusion of responsibility, and learned helplessness are phrases that regularly do the rounds. But where do they come from, and what do they mean? And there's so much. I mean, this is maybe you could say kind of a long article. Not really, though. It's actually pretty brief. But there's so much more that could have been included. And, you know, we've talked about this over the years. The fact, for example, that the torture... Oh, I'm sorry, extraordinary rendition. Oh, wait a minute. It's not torture. It's, you know, enhanced interrogation or whatever stupid euphemism you want to assign to it. That was all born, speaking of learned helplessness, out of Dr. Martin Seligman's work and a colleague at University of Pennsylvania back in the 60s, you know, where they happened upon learned helplessness as they were studying all of these other guys, you know, Vunt, Skinner, et cetera, et cetera, and Laban, et cetera, forces that, you know, of social conditioning and all of the later stuff, Biderman and Zimmer's manipulation of human behavior, for example. We studied the communist mind control programs, and man, they're really good at getting people to do what they want. And here's how it works. So learned helplessness was born out of that research. And I used to joke when it was still on Wikipedia before that got flushed down the memory hole, that as the story went, Seligman and colleague happened upon learned helplessness by randomly and repeatedly shocking dogs. We just accidentally, you know, yeah. It sounds accidental, except not. So the whole, whatever you want to call it, torture program that was given silly, stupid euphemisms was born out of this research, these programs, these kinds of things. And obviously we've seen another sort of iteration of this in the last couple of years with the so-called COVID nonsense, like Jim Breuer and Joe Rogan discussed, you know, a giant voodoo trick. If it weren't for the profanity, we could probably play that clip over and over and over again. When Jim Breuer was on the Joe Rogan Experience and they were talking about a giant voodoo trick. And of course, Jim Breuer has mentioned that in his comedic appearances more recently. So this is an interesting article. Five psychological experiments that explain the modern world: the Milgram experiment, the Stanford Prison experiment, the Ash experiment, Festinger's cognitive dissonance experiment, and the so-called monkey ladder, which, you know, allegedly scientists at Harvard in the 1960s, you know, the monkeys. This is, as the article points out, you know, yes, that's the controversy I mentioned earlier. Despite being easily found on every corner of the internet, despite magazine articles explaining it and animations recounting it, it never happened. The experiment appears to be entirely apocryphal. And I like the appears to be because heaven knows things have been done that have been sort of either hidden or eventually occluded from public view. Stick around, we'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer: 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer: 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Let's get back to this scanning thing, because this is evidence of how the psychological experiments play out in everyday life. So this person, again, had a question, have a printer, laser printer, all-in-one deal, high-end Costco thing, high-end for the consumer market, and these things keep changing. I call it assumptive tyranny. Vicki Davis would probably call it technocratic tyranny. But, just all of these assumptions. No, you want this, you want this, you want this. And before I continue, I think it's interesting that the things this person says are patently false, or they're provably false, or this person is making assumptions that are, I would say, evidence of Stockholm syndrome at a minimum. If you have the HP Smart app, as it's referred to now in Microsoft world. Everything's an app, whether it's a desktop or mobile. I thought that was a term reserved to mobile devices. Anyway, if you have it on a desktop, go into your search window, type add, click on add remove programs, search for HP Smart, click on advanced, whatever, and you will see under app permissions on a desktop, for instance, that it gives itself, when you install this thing, it gives itself permission to access your camera and your microphone and background apps, you know, that permission as well. That I can understand, so it operates in the background. But your camera and your microphone on a desktop? Am I taking pictures of documents or something with my camera on my desktop? And what purpose could this app possibly have accessing my microphone on a desktop? It's very strange. Why? So, you know, all of that is suspicious to this person's point, who, again, someone asked a couple of years ago, why is HP Smart now requiring sign in to scan a document, just a scan? You know, you put your document in the document feeder and you should be able to push a button, scan, done. Do you want to scan to a device or a USB or something else? And, you know, another thing about these HP devices, now they ship, a lot of them ship without an Ethernet port, which means that you have to use wireless. Isn't that curious? Why are you being discouraged from plugging a device into an Ethernet port? Why wireless exclusive? Well, that's just because everyone's using wireless anyway. Okay, well, maybe it's, you know, the vast majority. Is it really because an Ethernet port in the device, you know, a NIC card that supports an Ethernet port is just too expensive? It's just too much money, right? I don't think so. So this person says, why do I have to sign in to scan a document? This started about a week ago. This does not make the app easier to use as its extra steps. I also have a concern about privacy. HP does not need to know when or what I scan. I completely agree. Why not give the option? Would you like to sign in? And then you can have all of these things go to your centralized network repository or wherever else. HP, like Microsoft and Google et al., says, you know what, that's okay. We will, all your documents are, all your document are belong to us. So the answer, again, from Dragonfur, level 16 expert, yes, you may have to sign in. Did you, I wonder if this person even checked. This person is an expert. Have you done any research? Did you do any checking? Hold on, let me look over my shoulder. Yep, you may have to sign in. So the answer in its entirety is the application has always worked better when you sign into your HP connected HP Smart account. Really? Is there some kind of factual evidence of that? Can you send me a link or a series of links that validate that assumption that you made? Because if it's just an assumption that you've construed as fact, that's pretty silly. Continuing, if the application now requires it, well, there you go. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is operant conditioning in full effect. There it is at work right there. If the application now requires it, well, there you go. Do not ask questions. HP makes decisions on all HP software and application management. Again, what is the basis for this statement? But, you know, no evidence is presented that I'm aware of. So then this person is sort of, the answer is sort of rhetorically saying what this person who asked the question is saying. Yeah, but what about my personal scan data? This answer says, HP does not care what you scan and does not keep track of the documents and photos you scan. The printer is not keeping track of images or documents, nor does the printer secretly store this data. Okay, first of all, on what basis do you make this statement? How can you say these things? Are you a software engineer? You've been involved in the creation of the software, and you've pored over every line of the software before it's compiled, and you know that to be fact. Because again, these are assumptive statements that are made. Maybe this person is going based on, you know, if you dive into your HP Smart privacy settings, this person says, you know, click on the setting wheel in privacy settings, read all about the data collection, if and where available, make choices. Yeah, if and where available. So there are links to that data collection. HP collects and analyzes technical data from your printer. HP Smart data collection notice, HP Smart services and solutions data collection notice, printer data notice, data collection notice. App improvement. Help improve future versions of the HP Smart apps by sending data usage data, Google Analytics privacy, Adobe privacy, Optimizely, manage my privacy preferences. So that's all fun stuff. Back to this, though. The printer is not keeping track of images and documents. Okay, two things. If this information goes out over the interwebs, maybe HP is not keeping track of things, but you know there are examples in history of nefarious activity. Room 641A, for example. You know, we're just kind of making a copy of all of that stuff as it comes through. You know, everything that passes through, we're just making a copy of it. And if you listen to guys like Bill Binney, that doesn't seem to ever have stopped. So, you know, maybe HP isn't keeping a copy of stuff, but does that mean that there's no copy anywhere? I find that hard to imagine. But also, even if we could say with absolute certainty that, you know, HP and no one else is, you know, no one is keeping track of images or documents. You know, you have to ask the question. One has to ask the question. If that is the case, why the need to require a sign-in? Why not give people the option? If it's a convenience, I call it assumptive tyranny that you see in technology. You want to sign in. It's, no, actually, I don't. I'd prefer not. No, you want to. You want to. Okay, Sheldon Cohen talking to Aaron Russo. Most people do. Well, through operant conditioning, perhaps, over the last several generations, maybe they've been anesthetized to it somewhat through learned helplessness, but that doesn't mean that that's our first choice in all cases. So let's not pretend that's what's going on. But even if we could say with absolute certainty, setting the suspicion aside, you know, if I don't want to, why am I required to? What value, as this person who asked the initial question has posited, you know, what additional value is there in it for me as the customer? I see none. Why not give me the option? So even if we could say with absolute certainty that no one, including HP, of course, and the NSA, et cetera, even if we could say with absolute certainty no one is keeping track of the images or documents, etc., nor does the printer secretly store this data. Maybe the printer doesn't. How do you know this, though? How does this dragon fur person know that? These are assumptive statements. You don't know what you're saying with absolute certainty. I think about things like, you know, the little piece that Fox News did not too long ago. We played that video of the phones. You know, somebody went and got two phones. One had a SIM card. One did not. Neither of them had services. They turned them on, and one I think had Wi-Fi turned off or something like the I think it was on airplane actually. So neither of them had a service plan enabled, and I think one of them had the I think airplane mode was turned on. One had the SIM card removed, and when both of them were transmitting data, maybe they were both turned off. I think when they were connected to a device that was watching whether or not they were transmitting data back and forth, in or out, it was found that they were transmitting data as soon as they were able to. And it included telemetry data and GPS and all kinds of stuff. Where is that going? Especially if these phones don't have a service plan. So how is it, Dragon Fur person, level 16 expert, that you can say with absolute certainty the printer is not keeping track of images, documents, nor does the printer secretly store this data? And the person goes on, what data is harvested? What does it mean? Where do I get information? Sort of mocking the person who asked the question. Open HP Smart Window app, Windows application, click settings, wheel, privacy settings, etc. And so the person who asked the initial question replied, thanks for the quick reply. I figured that's the way it would be, requiring sign-in. I've been pretty happy with HP's products overall, but I wish HP would stop changing the Smart App. I could make a list of problems I've had over the past couple of years. Oh, well, thanks again. Consider this closed. So, and this person says, the Dragon Fur level 16 expert replies, you're welcome. Sometimes the answer is that we have to adjust. I agree that sometimes some things change and we cannot always recognize the need for it. Stay safe. I'm sure this person, I can just see this person, if you know what I mean. This person probably can't wait until HP gives the, gender pronoun box to type in so that they can put that under their Dragon Fur avatar. These are my preferred pronouns. I can see it. So, I can't reply this weekend because I'm at Comic-Con, so I will be offline, something like that. And emulating these kinds of things. So back to, if we could say with absolute certainty, which this person can't, it's astonishing they make this claim. Again, this is all operant conditioning. The answer the person who asked the question gives goes right back to, speaking of the cognitive dissonance and diffusion of responsibility, learned helplessness, etc. Goes right back. In this case, it goes back to Festinger's and Carl Smith's cognitive dissonance study. But this is a great article that does summarize. You can see this process at work in this exchange, for example. So back to the answer. If we could say with absolute certainty, which we cannot, the printer is, and no one else keep track of images and documents, nor does the printer secretly store this data, I would argue that's a straw man. Whether this person, Dragon Fur level 16 expert, realizes that or not, it's a straw man. Because this is the day of metadata. There's a company that changed the name to Meta. That's how important this is. I've mentioned Neo4j a number of times, including recently last week, and a few examples. The Meredith Corporation example, for instance, $3.2 billion. $30 billion nodes, 67 billion properties, 35 billion relationships from 14 to 241 days. These are the cookies and things. More visits per profile, 4 to 23.8 visits. And they use Neo4j to break all of this down. The cookies. What did they end up doing with all of these cookies? You know, usually you kind of go, what do you do with all of these 30 billion nodes? And all of these users and things. Well, the average length of touch points has exploded. You know, 30 billion nodes, 14 to 241 days, maybe four cookies, maybe 23.8 per profile. Nearly 350 million profiles that would have to be considered unique individuals were consolidated to 163 million rich and more accurate profiles. In other words, they effectively identified 163 million out of the, or condensed 350 million down to 163 million. But there's more. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Spiders. suns that guard this roost, beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns.
Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior radio broadcast. I think we're getting to a point where certainly the younger generations just have no concern, don't care. Not a big deal. But what happens when we go from mobile to wearables and implantable? Well, I'll get to some of this stuff. So from the Neo4j Meredith case study, we basically have increased our understanding of a customer by 20 to 30% by looking at how the data connects over time, rather than just looking at individual cookies themselves, said Ben Squire, senior data scientist at Meredith Corporation. Who else might be interested in this? Intelligence agencies, maybe? And you can see how, you know, through InQtel, for example, the CIA might want to creep into, hey, let us help you build some tools, and, you know, we'll just kind of, I don't know, maybe we'll glance at some of this information occasionally. We'll just, you know what, we won't keep track of the information. We'll just keep track of the metadata. We might use that for analytics just to make sure that these things are functioning properly, that, you know, we can't improve them in it. We just want to do it for your benefit. And if the consumer says, you know what, I don't think I need that, well, let's give them a strategy of tension episode reason to, you know that you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall, kind of thing. So let's see. From here, maybe we go to broken promises of privacy, the responding to the surprising failure of anonymization by Paul Ohm, who proved conclusively and beyond a shadow of a doubt that, as he put it, computer scientists have recently undermined our faith in the privacy-protecting power of anonymization. You know, that you can redact what's called PII, personally identifiable information. These scientists have demonstrated they can often re-identify or de-anonymize individuals hidden in anonymized data with astonishing ease. By understanding this research, we will realize we have made a mistake, laboring beneath a myth, a fundamental misunderstanding, which has reassured us, or assured us much less privacy than we have assumed. And so it's through the combining of databases, essentially, that this re-identification or de-anonymization occurs. And so again, I go back to these HP privacy settings, app improvement, help improve future versions, Google Analytics privacy policy, Adobe, Optimizely. Those are different databases. They are telling you right out in plain sight that they are combining databases. And then the cookies. Talk about all of this when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now two-thirds of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.